Welcome to the Line of Fire Mics, Dr. Alex McFarland.
It's time for the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The sacred fire of liberty has been entrusted to the American people. You know, those were among George Washington's first official words upon his inauguration as our first president. And with that quote, the sacred fire of liberty has been entrusted to the American people. I welcome you to this edition of The Line of Fire. Alex McFarland here, very, very honored to be sitting in guest hosting for my brother, colleague, and friend, Dr. Michael Brown. Matt Corbin and I were talking before the show, and I guess this is about the third or fourth December that I've been able to guest host for Dr. Brown. Folks, we have got an amazing day planned for you, and with me in the studio to share in our pursuit of truth, justice, godliness, and the American way, Dr. Tony Beam. He is one of the vice presidents of North Greenville University. I am now in my sixth year of working with him at North Greenville University in the Center for Apologetics and Christian Worldview. He's amazing. I'll tell you about his bio as we go along. But sitting in the Michael Brown studios with me, Dr. Tony Beam.
Alex, I thought you were going to introduce me as Superman there for a second when you're doing truth, justice, and then you threw in godliness in the American way. So I said, no, we've migrated away from the Superman motif, but it's great to be with you. I appreciate you inviting me to come up.
Well, when I think of you, when I think of Dr. Brown, I mean, those are some of the superlatives that come to mind. Folks, I do want to give the number because we'll take your calls. Now, listen to this. We have, coming up in just a moment, General Jerry Boykin, Delta Force, Black Hawk Down, CIA, served our country, and the Church of Jesus Christ in a myriad of ways, a living legend, General Jerry Boykin, in just a moment. But the number, toll-free nationwide, 866-348-7884. That's 866-348-7884. We'll get to your questions. Dr. Tony Beam, I wanted the Line of Fire listeners to meet Tony Beam because Dr. Beam, seriously, no embellishment, no flattery here, but you're probably the most politically savvy person I know. I mean, you really, how did you know everything about everything?
I didn't predict Donald Trump's ascendancy to power, so I don't know how smart I am.
But
I missed that one.
When it comes to the races, the districts, the judges, the issues, the bills, I mean, you always seem to be up to speed. And I wanted to have you on because, I wanted you to make the listeners aware of things that you see on the political and cultural horizon that are, you know, really, really important.
Sure.
News of the day.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I appreciate you letting me take the trip up here to Charlotte. I do a couple of hours of talk radio every morning.
Right.
And the Greenville-Spartanburg market is just a local show. But I do talk a lot about politics.
You said the Christian worldview with Dr. Tony Beam, just a local show. Listen, I've been in Eastern North Carolina at the Outer Banks. People talk about your show. I was last week in Western North Carolina in Asheville. If about a 150-mile radius by 150-mile radius is local, then I guess you're local. But don't sell yourself short.
Well, no. Well, I appreciate it. I enjoy what I do, and I love doing radio, and it's a lot of fun to be here with you. But, yeah, there's a lot of things going on politically. We obviously have a new sheriff in town, and it's going to be a much different political environment in Washington than I think we've seen in our lifetime.
Right.
I don't think there's a modern, a 20th century, really, comparison to what I think probably the presidency of Donald Trump is going to be like. The closest example might be Harry Truman. Mm-hmm. You know, Harry Truman was kind of a no-nonsense guy that was a haberdasher. He was a World War One, served in World War One, and then, ended up being president of the United States. And a very blunt and forthright guy.
Yeah. Hey, we've got a break coming up. When we come back, General Jerry Boykin, and it's going to be great. This is Alex McFarland subbing for Dr. Michael Brown on today's edition of The Line of Fire.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to give a special shout out from India to all of our torchbearers. You make The Line of Fire possible. Friends, we do our best to make every broadcast count, addressing the issues, tackling the controversies. And by God's grace, we are making an impact on many, many lives. And the reverberations are being felt around America and around the world. Thank you, our faithful supporters. Together, we are making a difference.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Alex McFarland sitting in for Dr. Michael Brown. With me in the studio, Dr. Tony Beam of North Greenville University. You know, I'm so excited, folks, because of the person you're about to hear, because when you talk about a true American hero, I mean, that's maybe thrown around a little bit, but in the case of General Jerry Boykin, it is absolutely appropriate. You know, we're talking about Bronze Star, Purple Heart, Delta Force, counterterrorism, serving our country in a myriad of ways, but the greatest appellation of all, he's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. What an honor to have a true God and country patriot, General Jerry Boykin, on the Line of Fire today. Welcome, General Boykin. General Boykin. Okay. JJ and or Matt, do we have the
Hello?
General? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello, thank you, sir, and thank you for being on the Line of Fire. Are you in our nation's capital today, General?
I am actually down in South Central Virginia today in Farmville, Virginia, where the vice presidential debates were held.
Okay. Well, let me say before we get down to business here, Merry Christmas to you and your dear family, and thank you for taking time to be with us.
And Merry Christmas to you, Alex. It's a privilege to be on with you.
Well, thank you. With me also is Dr. Tony Beam. And General, we're excited to say that you're going to be with us on March 22nd on the campus of North Greenville University. And Dr. Beam, I know you and I have wanted that to happen for a long time, haven't we?
Absolutely. We do welcome you and are glad that you're going to be able to make that trip to the Christian Worldview Week. And I can tell you, the number one reaction that I've been getting from people when I tell them that you're going to be coming to speak on campus is, "You're kidding me. Wow. General Boykin is..." So we're really excited about you coming, General.
Well, thank you. And it's good to talk to you again. I think the last time was back in September.
That's right.
At the Values Voter Summit together.
Yes, I appreciate you taking some time to be with us on the air at that time as well.
Well, General, I want to get your thoughts about just the political landscape of America right now. And you know, with your background in serving our country, defending our freedoms, national defense, I mean, there's a lot of things we could talk about. But let's talk about ISIS and fighting terrorism. I mean, how do you see the national and international defense landscape play out over the next months and years?
Well, I think that you're going to see some substantial changes in the way we approach this whole issue of ISIS. I think rather than just hoping to win little tactical battles or skirmishes, we're actually going to have a strategy, a global strategy that will take ISIS on wherever they are, because they could be in as much as 33, 34 countries now, and it's not just Syria and Iraq. So I think that we'll go from a sort of a tactical focus to more of a strategic focus under Donald Trump.
Let me ask you this, General. Over the last 8 years, what are some of the things that you've seen that have been especially, you know, concerning to you, things that have compromised national defense?
Well, let's just take the military services as a start point, because you have no national defense unless you have a strong military. And what we've seen, and the Congress has been complicit, is you've seen an incredible reduction in resources to our military, which means that after 15 years of war, they can't even replace the equipment that has been worn out. And you've seen and heard the stories of having to rob museum pieces, airplanes, to keep what we currently have flying. And you've got the same problem with the ground forces, with the tanks and the artillery and the individual weapons. We just can't replace all of that stuff. So it's been devastating. And then you add to that the social experiments, which have eaten up incredible training time, time that should have been focused on the primary mission of our military, which is fighting and winning wars. And with every social experiment goes a huge training program that all the members of the services have to go through. And then finally, you look at the assault on religious liberty in our military. And this is a direct result of Obama's efforts to force the military to conform to his agenda, which is to fundamentally transform America, and that has been another devastating blow to our armed forces.
Yeah, to what degree has the constraints of religious expression, and you know, it was my privilege to speak to a group at Fort Bragg earlier this year, and those that are Christians, that are men and women often of high rank and dedicated service, but they kind of, regarding their Christian faith, feel like they have to walk on eggshells. General, how has that affected morale?
It's had a huge impact on morale. And the Secretary of Defense, Ash Carter, announced about 3 weeks ago that he's forming a speakers bureau. Now, I heard that and I said, what? But what he went on to say was that he's going to bring in some fairly well-known personalities. They could be sports figures or actors or whatever, and he's going to have them go around trying to encourage people to come into the military. Now, why is that? Well, that's because we've got a lot of people in our military that are leaving the military prematurely, and we've got an awful lot of moms and dads across the country that are saying no. I don't want my son or daughter to go into this military. And that is the ultimate impact of the low morale that has been created by all of these things that have been done under the Obama administration. And I will tell you, if you don't have good people, the best people you can find, and all the budget in the world is for naught, because we win wars with people, not with hardware or technology.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, let me just say this on a somewhat related note. It's been the same thing about young people going into law enforcement. I'm not going to name the state, but I spoke to about 5,000 people in a state and was talking to one of the leaders of the highway patrol in this state. And he, a dear Christian man, he told me, he said, you know, ordinarily there would be 50 to 100 people a month applying to become a part of the highway patrol. But with the assassination of officers and really the White House not being very vocal and demonstrative in defending the precious lives of law enforcement officers, this person said, you know, it's not very well known, but in terms of the highway patrolmen out on the roadways of this particular state, he said, and this was a quote, we're on a skeleton crew because not 50 or 100 people a month are applying, but about 7 people a month are applying. Now, I believe that serving one's country in the military, as you've done, General, or in law enforcement, I think that's a godly thing. I read Romans 13, and I think service to keep order and to be in law enforcement or to national defense, I think that's ultimately a means to serve the Lord. And so we encourage young people to do things like that. But I want to bring Dr. Tony Beam to the mic. And Dr. Beam, anything that you want to ask the general? Maybe we can talk a little bit about James Mattis and his appointment.
Sure, I'd like to do that. But I also would like to get General Boykin's response to Ash Carter's basically saying, I think it was either yesterday or the day before, maybe as late as yesterday, that he's recommending to the president that we leave forces in Iraq. I'm not sure how many people realize that we have significant military forces back in Iraq because of the problems with ISIS, and that we've been gradually building up military forces there. And now the Secretary of Defense, the current Secretary of Defense, says, look, his recommendation is that we can't walk away again. We're going to have to leave a significant force in Iraq going forward. What is your response to that?
Well, remember, we precipitously and against the advice of the military leadership, we pulled out of Iraq in 2011. We set a timeline, and then we executed on that timeline. Now we've been in a gradual and incremental buildup back in Iraq because we made a terrible decision there to come out the way we did and at the time that we did. That said, what I'm not surprised by that, and I think that it is part, if you'll pardon my cynicism, part of trying to preserve Obama's legacy.
Hey, General, forgive me. We've got a break. We've got a take. We're going to come right back. Please don't go away. Listeners, more with General Boykin after this brief break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hi, Alex McFarland here sitting in for Dr. Brown. Dr. Brown is going to be broadcasting from India on Wednesday, and so you won't want to miss that as he gives a greeting from India to his listeners. We're going to get right back to the conversation with General Jerry Boykin, but with me in the studio is the man whose voice you just heard on that Billy Graham commercial, Dr. Tony Beam of North Greenville. Now, when was that recorded, Dr. Beam?
It was back earlier this year. It was in the fall when I spoke at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Sure.
Did one of the morning devotions for them, and they called and asked if they could use that on their radio broadcast, and of course I was honored to have them do it.
Well, praise God. Praise God. General Boykin, thank you so much for being on the Line of Fire. And before we get back to the conversation at hand, how may people reach you? I neglected to mention in your illustrious bio the great work you do for the Family Research Council, for FRC and Tony Perkins. And do you have a website, or how can people keep up with the work you do through FRC?
Yeah, I just go to FRC.org.
Yeah.
FamilyResearchCouncil.org, FRC.org. We have daily updates, bulletins as required, and we have connections to quite a number of things that are going on in the country there that give you a much better understanding of what's happening in our nation.
And before the break, you were making a point about where the need for us to rebuild there in Iraq, and the break came along. I want to give you time to finish that point.
Well, we do have several thousand service members there today, and they are, in fact, in harm's way. So when we talk about them, we need to remember to pray for them because they are up against a real enemy there, and that being ISIS. We also have some in Syria, which is a much lesser number. But we do have people in Syria, and I think that the Obama administration now realizes the folly of the decision that they made, but they can't say that, and I think what they're trying to do is make sure that as this is handed off to Donald Trump, that they're able to say, no, we put military forces in Iraq. We continued the campaign against ISIS, and I think this is about his legacy, but I've got to tell you, I'm an old soldier, 36 and a half years in the Army, but I want them to identify why we're fighting. I want them to be very clear to every young man and woman that goes into harm's way why we're fighting and what we expect to achieve with it, because that's one of the confusions today, and that's, as we talked earlier, that's what's impacting morale as well today, is that they're not sure why they're fighting. They're not sure what their objectives are, and when they see a friend maimed or killed, it is much more difficult to accept that when you're not sure why you're fighting. And this administration has spent no time and no effort trying to make them understand why it's important for us to be there. I think we should be there, but I don't think we should have pulled out in 2011 the way we did either.
You know, General Boykin, I appreciate you saying that, because I think it's scandalous the way this administration is behaving. We had to go back because, as you said, our commander-in-chief made a very bad decision to pull out of Iraq too soon against all military advisors. We've had to go back in, and instead of being the commander-in-chief and giving real leadership to our military personnel to give them a sense of understanding of why they're making this sacrifice. He doesn't talk about it because he doesn't want to admit that we've had to go back in, because his liberal base would not like it very much. And the press has been very willing to allow the president to get by with that, whereas if this were a conservative or a Republican administration, they would be talking about it constantly. So I do hope, I think this is going to change when President-elect Trump takes office. Let me ask you this. Do you think General Mattis, I mean, he has a reputation for being very strong. The military, from what I understand, military leaders love him. The rank and file respect him. Do you think that even though President-elect Trump has said that he doesn't like a lot of this going into these other countries and he believes the war in Iraq was a mistake, but do you believe he will go along with a recommendation from General Mattis to follow the advice of Ash Carter and be effective in the way we handle things now in Iraq and Syria?
Yeah, I think he will. Remember, they don't call him Mad Dog Mattis because he's crazy. They call him Mad Dog Mattis because he is very calculating and willing to take on not only the political entities in our country by breaching all protocols of political correctness, but he's also willing to take on the enemy, and to do so in a way that he wants to see the end result be victory. And Mattis is a warrior, first and foremost. Now, Mattis and I had a disagreement over the release of detainees from Gitmo for Bo Bergdahl. I disagreed with that, and he agreed with it. That's the only issue that I've ever had with Mattis. But I'll tell you, I'm excited. I think that he's going to be a good Secretary of Defense. But here's the most important thing that everybody needs to understand. The message that Donald Trump is sending to our military by appointing Jim Mattis as a Secretary of Defense is an immeasurably positive message, and that is your mission is to win wars, and we're getting back to the foundations of what you're all about. Winning wars.
Yeah, and I agree, General. Remember Donald Trump during the campaign, he said this, and a lot of people, I mean, there were people pro and con on this, but he said, we need to win again. He said, we don't win at anything anymore. We're Americans. Right. We want to win. And, you know, Obama's worldview and that of Hillary, and I want to say, you know, I pray for Hillary Clinton, but I thank God that she did not win the election, because the danger to our freedoms, the threat to the whole world, I think was very real. But in the liberal worldview, I mean, there's no right or wrong. There should be no winners or losers. There's just this pipe dream, this utopianism of everybody just coexisting together, but that's just not the way the world works, is it?
No, it isn't. And they live in a parallel universe. That's why I think that not only choosing Jim Mattis, but Michael Flynn as the National Security Advisor is a very important step, because both of those people see the world the way it really is, not how they'd like it to be, not in a, you know, through rose-colored glasses. They see the world the way it really is. And as a result of that, I think they're going to have a very positive influence on Donald Trump. And I don't think we're going to send people off to war without, a strategy to win, and, B, a clear understanding of how this impacts our national security interest.
General Boykin, let me just quickly ask this. I think we're going to be running short on time here for this segment, but just a quick question. If it was up to you, the first step of rebuilding the military, which we're going to have to do, what do you think is the most important step that we should take right out of the gate to get the United States military rebuilt?
Yeah, change the leadership. Yeah. Starting with the Secretary of Defense, but I cannot, and I'm serious about that, change the leadership and get some real warriors in there.
Thank you, General. God bless you for being on the program today.
Thank you, General Boykin. Stay tuned, folks. The Line of Fire is back after this brief break. Don't go away.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, Alex McFarland. Hey, an early in December, but very heartfelt Merry Christmas to everyone listening. I do want to give the number, toll-free nationwide, 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H. Alex McFarland here, author, Christian, patriot, and big fan of Dr. Michael Brown, honored to sit in. With me in the studio, 80% of the IQ points in the room are on that side of the desk, Dr. Tony Beam from North Greenville University.
Well, not true, but it's great to be here with you, Alex. I appreciate you letting me tag along for today. Always enjoy talking about North Greenville University. We were talking about a few minutes ago having General Boykin on.
Yeah.
Everybody in my world's a doctor, so I have to remember. Jerry's not a doctor; he's a general. William Boykin is coming to Jerry Boykin is coming to North Greenville University for Christian Worldview Week.
Yeah.
March 22nd, I think, is the actual date. He's going to be there.
We're
looking forward to that, and we're also going to have Lauren Green on our campus
week.
So that's a good thing. And we're looking at the possibility. In fact, the plans are in the works right now to have an inaugural apologetics camp at North Greenville coming up this summer.
Let's talk about this. Because, folks, do you know, biblically, I could definitely tie this into Deuteronomy 6 and Exodus 13 that talks about really raising your kids in a godly way. And Dr. Beam and I know Dr. Michael Brown shares this thought because we have talked about this at length, but one of the greatest responsibilities, one of the greatest stewardship things that you'll ever ponder is your kids and the worldview of your kids. North Greenville University, where Dr. Beam is the vice president, and I've been involved for 6 years as director of the Worldview and Apologetics Center, unapologetically, we say you ought to give your kids a Christian education.
Sure. Well, we talk about it this way. We talk about the fact that, young people are having a platform constructed underneath them while they're in school.
Right.
And the question is the platform that's being constructed for your young person, is that being built by you? Is it being built by the church? Or is it being built by the world? If it's being built by the world, it will fall. If it's being built by Christian values and a Christian worldview, if those are the underlying principles that are supporting the platform, then it will stand. So when students come to North Greenville University, those that don't have a Christian worldview, we want to build a good platform underneath them. Those that already have one, we're going to be sure we don't mess with it. We're not going to tamper with it. We have a lot of students that come that already have a solid Christian worldview, and we just simply want to add to it and make their faith that much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So we're honored to see people come who don't know the Lord. We have the opportunity to lead them to Christ, and then we are honored to have students come who get a closer walk with the Lord because we have quite a faculty of godly men and women who pour themselves into these students every day.
They really do. They really do. It's North Greenville University is a Christian school. Dr. Beam, I put it this way. I tell moms and dads this. Look, you don't want 4 years of secular college to dismantle what a Christian parent has worked 18 years to instill.
That's right.
And it can happen. Traveling as a speaker, interfacing with people. I mean, the landscape of this country is littered with the broken faith and broken hearts of people that maybe grew up in church, went to youth group, but they go away to school and they sit under relativism, evolutionism, secularism, really a militant secularism. And North Greenville is a kind of a school, world-class academics, fully accredited, dozens of majors. I want to talk about this a little bit, but basically, God and country are affirmed, not denigrated.
Oh, that's absolutely right, Alex. And we're honored to be able to do that and to have that kind of program.
Okay, Line of Fire with Dr. Michael Brown. Stay tuned. Tony Beam, Alex McFarland here. Todd Starnes of Fox News coming up. A great show. Don't go away.
This is Michael Brown. You know, when I first started preaching in 1973 at the age of 18, I never dreamed that I'd be on national radio speaking to people across the nation on a daily basis. It's incredible to see what God's done and the doors that God's opened for us to travel to the nations. Now more than 150 trips overseas. God is opening up some even bigger doors than we've ever seen before to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to touch the church around the world, to touch the nation of America. But this is not a one-man show. Everything we do is in partnership together with you. If we've been of help to you over the years, stand with us. Go to the website, click on donate, become one of our monthly supporters, become a torchbearer, or help us with your year-end one-time gift. I am in India, and your support would mean the world to us. Together, we're making a difference.
To find out more about becoming a torchbearer or on how to make a one-time year-end tax-deductible donation, go to thelineoffire.org and click on donate.
It's fire we want. For fire we please.
Fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I love the month of December. For one thing, I love Christmas. And, you know, December, as the year winds down, there's just so much to think about. And look forward to some things, reflect back on some things. By God's grace, I've been in about 23 or 24 states to speak this year. Some amazing opportunities. I give God the glory. Saw the biggest altar call of my career. I give God the glory. But I was in Tennessee about 2 months ago, and we saw 150 young people come to accept Christ on a Wednesday night, and that was just amazing. My website is alexmcfarland.com. My name, alexmcfarland.com. Got a couple of books that are currently out and one that's coming out in March. But, you know, one of the great things about December is I generally get to sit in for Dr. Brown a time or two, and this is one of those days. With me is Dr. Tony Beam. I do want to say at the beginning of hour two, we're going to have Todd Starnes of Fox News, which is one of the great, you know, Tony, we've had Todd Starnes at Truth for a New Generation a couple of times.
Yes.
He's kind of, you know, if you put, let me think here, if you put maybe Cal Thomas, Mark Twain, and Billy Graham in a can and shook them up.
Yeah, probably a little Andy Griffith in there, too.
You'd get Todd Starnes.
You would.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's
a great guy. He has a very unique perspective on American culture. He travels around like you so much and talks to so many people that he has a very it has given him an opportunity to understand what Americans think, particularly Americans that hold to a more traditional worldview. And so I'm looking forward to having him on. It's always good to talk to Todd.
Yeah, exactly. I want to get to a big story related to HGTV. But before we do, for those just tuning in, before the break, we were talking a little bit about North Greenville. And folks, listen, please, I beg of you, something we're about to share. Tony and I at the Worldview Center have talked about this for a couple of years. 2017, we're doing it. And that is a worldview apologetics camp for young people. Now, folks, mark this down. I'm going to give you some numbers because we don't have the website out completely, but we're getting there. But July 23rd through 28th, beautiful, one of the most beautiful parts of America are the mountains of South Carolina. July 23rd through 28th, we're going to have the first ever worldview and apologetics camp, middle school, high school. The kids, look, they're going to stay in the dorms. They're going to eat in the cafeteria.
Right.
They're going to enjoy the beauty of outdoor South Carolina. There's volleyball, there's activities. But the main thing is there's going to be 15 sessions where we're going to train these young people with passion and with a rock solid foundation. We're going to train these young people to defend their faith. And Tony, I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great to have them on our campus. There have been people asking for a camp of this nature that doesn't require quite the commitment that some other camps require. Some Christian worldview camps and apologetic camps go as long as 2 weeks. We're going to pack everything into just under a week.
In about 5 days.
In about 5 days. We're going to include a field trip. as part of this. We're going to try to get these young people familiar with the Billy Graham Museum and Library and right here in Charlotte, as part of their camp experience. But as you said, the most important thing, 15 solid sessions with you and me and our faculty at North Greenville University, who are, as you said, some of the best around. So it's going to be very, we don't have the website out yet, as Alex said, we're going to, but it's going to be very reasonably priced, and it'll be one price that includes your meals, all your conference materials, the field trip, everything. Yeah. So we'll be watching for that. There's going to be information coming soon.
And folks, listen to this. Okay, I'm going to give you two things, my email and a phone number. Okay, my email, and it'll come right to me personally, alex@alexmcfarland.com. All right, if you want to know about this or you've got a young person, maybe you want to give this as a Christmas gift or whatever. But the other is the number of Robin McCarter. She's our executive assistant there in the Worldview Center. Her number, right, listen to this, 864-977-2008. 864-977-2008. The dates are going to be July 23rd through 28th. We're going to be talking about God. How do we know God exists? How do we know that the Bible is true? How do we know Jesus is really the Savior? Did he really rise from the grave? You know, what about other religions? How do I stand up for my faith graciously but effectively in a hostile environment? One of the things, Dr. Beam, that I'm planning on talking about, that I lecture on all over the country, is God and government. What was the worldview of the founders? Because I meet middle schoolers now that have been taught that our founding fathers were atheists, secularists. So basically, we're talking about Christianity, of course, but we're also talking about just citizenship, I would say. Respond to these words, Dr. Beam. There's discipleship, there's churchmanship, but there's citizenship.
Right. Well, I kind of like... I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, you know, if we'll get lordship right, all of our other ships will come in.
Right.
So having the lordship of Christ also speaks of being good citizens.
Right.
We are members of two kingdoms. We belong in the kingdom of God as his children. We live out our lives in the kingdom of this world. And we happen to be living in a country that is a constitutional republic where we have an opportunity to shape the direction of the laws that we live under. It's a unique opportunity in world history, the opportunity for just every person within a country to be involved in the shaping of the direction of that country is rare.
Yeah.
Big time. And so it's an awesome responsibility and a great privilege.
Okay, 864-977-2008, the Worldview Camp. But folks, you're listening to The Line of Fire, Dr. Michael Brown, Alex McFarland sitting in for Dr. Brown. Tony, I want to ask your opinion on this. Chip and Joanna Gaines of HGTV's Fixer Upper. The LGBT activists, sometimes I say the LGBT thought police, are really targeting them because not something they've said or done, but
no.
Because of the church they attend.
That's right. Well, they attend a church that's a Bible-believing conservative church. Pastor Stephen Seibert is the pastor there, and he has preached consistently that homosexuality is sinful behavior. In fact, he links a lot of homosexuality, this is his opinion, to abuse perhaps in childhood or something of that nature.
Sure.
But the main point is that he preaches God's word, what the Bible says about the truth about homosexuality. And because they attend church there, and BuzzFeed and I believe TMZ are a couple of media outlets that found out that this is where they go to church, they found out what the pastor teaches, and now they're wanting a statement from Chip and Joanna to either distance themselves from their own pastor where they go to church or to make a statement in agreement with them. And they've pretty much said, you know, if this is what Chip and Joanna believe, then we think that if HGTV doesn't do anything about it, then we ought to go after the sponsors of the show.
Sure.
So this is similar to what they did with the Benham brothers. You know, the Benham brothers were set to have a program, and then it surfaced that they had been vocal in their defense of traditional marriage. And simply because they had been vocal in their defense in the past, they were given an opportunity to turn away from their previous support of traditional marriage. And, of course, the Benham brothers are not going to do that. David and Jason are godly men,
they're
amazing in their faith, and they stood up and said, "Look, if it, you know, it's a TV show. This is the kingdom of God we're talking about. This is our eternal relationship with Jesus. We're not going to sell out God to have a television program." And I think they're trying here, even though the Benham brothers never had the opportunity to have the show, even though they were supposed to. Now they're trying to paint Joanna and Chip in the same mold as being people who believe the Bible, and therefore they can't have a program on HGTV. But, you know, they responded, and Christian Post had a great story about it. They said, and along with their pastor, that the good thing about all of this is it's drawn a lot of attention to the church and to the website, and that thousands, even hundreds of thousands of people are now hearing the truth of God's word because they were driven there over this. And if it took a controversy to make that happen, they say, to God be the glory.
Listen to this language from BuzzFeed.com. It says they've uncovered something many fans want an explanation for.
Yeah, I'm sure people are clamoring over it.
Hey, The Line of Fire, stay tuned. We're back after this.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, what an honor. Alex McFarland here. And, you know, I know we inundate you with information, but, you know, knowledge is power. And there's a lot related to Dr. Michael Brown. You know, Tony Beam here is with me of North Greenville University. Dr. Michael Brown is kind of a force of nature, isn't he?
He really is. And let me say this real quick. I know you're about to seg into something here, but I'm honored to be here as part of his program. And the subject that we've been talking about is the LGBT agenda as it relates to Chip and Joanna Gaines. You know, no one has done more to inform the church about the truth about the LGBT agenda than Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah.
If you haven't read his books on the subject, let me encourage you to get them today.
Yeah.
And here's the reason. He speaks the truth, but he really honestly does it in love, with compassion. He loves the LGBT community, and his heart breaks over their rebellion and their sin.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to see them come to Christ and come to the truth.
Yeah.
And that comes out in everything he says. Even though he addresses this issue very honestly and truthfully and from a scholarly perspective. I mean, you're talking about somebody, I was just looking at his library in here, and you're talking about, you know, one wall of Hebrew and one wall of German, and, you know, I can't even imagine. You talk about IQ points.
Oh, I know.
I mean, it's incredible that, you know, I can speak English, a little Southern slang, and some Pig Latin, and I've got a little bit of Greek in me, and that's about it. We're talking about a guy that is a master of languages who speaks, though, with the heart of an evangelist. And you just don't find a lot of guys like that anymore, do you?
You really don't. And you know, we could do a whole show on talking about what a blessing Dr. Michael Brown is.
Yeah.
Really, folks, it's been my privilege to know him about, I guess I would say, 11 years. And really, I mean, world-class academic, PhD from New York University, prolific author. But, I mean, we've done many events together. We did a big event in July just a few months ago. Not only an intellect that is world-class, but the guy has the sweetest, most tender heart.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Most, and with all due respect, most intellectuals do not look at the world from an evangelistic, compassionate view. They don't have that lens, so to speak. But Dr. Brown does. You know, my sister was in the LGBT lifestyle. She was a lesbian.
I did not know that.
She did. She was 25 years old when I was born. It was a fascinating story we don't have time to get into. But I came along very late in my parents' life. But she got wrapped up in the lesbian lifestyle. And I can say this, and I since I'm on this program today, it's a opportunity I don't want to pass up. He helped me more than anybody just by reading his books and listening to him speak about this, to be loving and compassionate and to know how to maintain the love relationship that I have with my sister and yet still be able to discuss with her why her lifestyle choice was wrong. and I'll always be in debt to Dr. Brown about that. So those of you that listen to this program all the time, we don't have to tell you anything. You're already in on it. But just wanted to have that chance while we were here.
Well, there's some videos at askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. I did a video, Matt Corbin, the wonderful producer here, we did one on what is the origin of evil? Why is there evil and sin in the world? So there are videos that I've created that are up there. And then there are articles on the diversity police. There's a video with the Benham brothers. And so there's a lot at askdrbrown.org. DrBrown.org. The website for this show is called The Line of Fire, F-I-R-E, thelineoffire.org. Tony, I want to tell you this. All right, now folks, just hear this. We're wrapping up hour one, but I want you to listen carefully. We're in North Carolina today, my home state. Far as I can tell, we McFarlands have been here since 1812 or 13. So let's just say we're invested in North Carolina. Got about...
I'm a North Carolina boy myself.
Are you really?
Born and raised in Ellenboro, North Carolina, western North Carolina, up near about 40 miles from Asheville.
Yeah.
So been in South Carolina since I was 18 years old, but a North Carolina native, so I'm right there with you.
Well, Thomas Jefferson said a generation is about 18 years. So we McFarlands, we've got about 10 or 11 generations below ground. And, you know, four or five above ground still, of which I'm one. So we love North Carolina. But here's the deal. Governor Pat McCrory conceded today, the election. I would argue, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he probably lost a second term because of his defense of moral truth.
I think you're right, Alex. And here's the sad part about that. But this is true. There are Christians who I believe love Jesus, but also love the NCAA and their concerts and the NFL, and the altar of American culture is the sports altar. And when you do something like Governor McCrory did so bravely stand for moral truth in a way that was inspiring to me and still is, he's paying a political price because people can't They can't get past the fact that we're not going to have an NCAA tournament. Why, PayPal's going to build somewhere else, or somebody's going to move
goodness.
Out of the state.
Bruce Springsteen
is not going to do a concert here.
Yeah. I would say, thank God we dodged a bullet there. But listen to this before we go. Now, folks, I beg of you to listen. Back in the spring, Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner, I was doing a lot of research in Switzerland that shows that has been very homosexual friendly for decades, since the late 70s. All right. Of those that have gender dysphoria and go for sexual reassignment surgery, okay, transgender sex change operation, research out of Europe and Switzerland show that the people that have gender confusion are 80 times more likely to attempt suicide or have suicidal ideation than the general populace. Dr. Beam, do you know, January 1, 2017, all state employees in North Carolina will have money taken from their check to go to statewide health care that includes funding for sexual reassignment surgery.
Yeah, well, and just Johns Hopkins University got out of the sex reassignment surgery business because of what you just said.
Because
the suicide rate, you talk about rescuing people from suicide by allowing them to have the gender assignment they want, it turns out that people who had that surgery were much more likely to commit suicide. And Johns Hopkins looked around and said, look, this is crazy. We're in the business of helping and healing, not in the business of hurting.
Yeah.
And that was hurting people. So,
Dr. Paul McHugh, who was long lauded as one of the premier mental health professionals in America, a psychiatrist of excellent credentials, and for years was applauded, and rightly so, when earlier this year he said that to perform a sex change operation is really a form of abuse, and those with gender confusion need therapy, not surgery. He was castigated.
Sure.
So here's my thing. Why the North Carolina state employees here in my home state that have convictions and believe in what Jefferson would have called natural law, they're being forced, it's going to be taken out of their check to cover sexual reassignment. Why would I, if I'm going to love my neighbor, want to do something that would be many times more likely to kill them than cigarettes?
And why would you want to be forced to do something that's against your deeply held religious beliefs?
The Line of Fire, Dr. Michael Brown. Stay tuned. We're back after this.
Welcome to the Line of Fire, Mike's Dr. Alex McFarland.
It's time for the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland, so honored to be here. It is the Line of Fire, Dr. Michael Brown, and I'm here in the studios with Dr. Tony Beam, VP of North Greenville University, where he and I are both very honored to serve.
And where Christ makes the difference.
North Greenville is the school where Christ makes the difference. The website of the school, ngu.edu. Hey, folks, you don't want to miss this next segment because we're getting on the line Todd Starnes from Fox News. If you've ever gone... Well, I'm sure you've seen him on TV. You've probably read his stuff. If you ever go to the Fox News website, about 99.9% of the time, he's front and center right there. And he writes on a lot of great things. But, Tony, as we get into this next hour, and I believe we've got Brother Todd there ready, how important is it? I'm going to let you cue this up, Dr. Beam, for us to attend to the life of the mind. As a Christian.
Oh, it's an incredible journey. Life is an incredible journey of the mind. And we should be dedicated as believers to lifelong learning, not only learning from the Holy Spirit and the deep things of the Scripture, which, of course, for every born-again believer has to be the case, but also learning just general knowledge that we expand our understanding of the world that we live in so that we can apply the wisdom of God to the things that we know. You know, there's a big difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is simply that we accumulate, facts that we remember. But wisdom is the ability to rightly apply knowledge in every situation under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So the more knowledge we gain, the more we give available to the Holy Spirit in our life to be transformative to the people that we come in contact with. So it's all about lifelong learning and being sure that as Christians we engage the mind as well as the heart.
Well said. And apologetics is good, clean fun, isn't it?
Besides that, it is. It's just a blast to be able to. And that's what our good friend Frank Turek, you know, I think does such a good job at pointing out the absolute fun of how the truth works.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things he talks about is the roadrunner tactic, where he actually turns the arguments of people who don't believe in God around on them in a way that makes it fun to get into an apologetics discussion.
Well, that's great. And, hey, folks, you're listening to The Line of Fire, Alex McFarland, guest hosting for Dr. Michael Brown. We're going to go straight to it here. Todd Starnes is a national treasure. I'm sure everyone listening knows who he is. His website is toddstarnes.com, S-T-A-R-N-E-S. You can find, I get him every day, literally every day through Fox News. You know, if you put, you know, the mind of a C.S. Lewis, the wit of a Will Rogers, and the heart of a Billy Graham in one.
That's pretty good.
That would be Todd Starnes. Todd, are you there, my brother?
I am. I would have included Rodney Dangerfield in that list, but
I wanted. I told Alex before I wanted to throw in a little Andy Griffith too, man, because you got the sweet tea and shut my mouth whole thing down. So that's good.
Well, thanks a lot, guys, and good afternoon from Memphis, Tennessee. We're literally on the stage, the main stage here at Bellevue Baptist Church, and we're going through run-throughs for our big. Fox Radio Christmas show that we're doing, so we're knee deep in Christmas right now.
Well, that is great, and I wanted you to tell everybody about that, folks. This is so wonderful, Todd. Tell us everything about the Christmas show because this has become a bit of an annual tradition, hasn't it?
You know, it has. This is the third annual show, Alex, and we've had a partnership with Bellevue Baptist Church for a number of years, and their choirs have been on our television show.
Hey, Todd, hold that thought. We got a brief break, just a quick break. Folks, don't go away. More with Todd Starnes, the big Christmas show coming up on the Line of Fire. Don't go away.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Our time is limited, so we want to get right back to our conversation with our very dear friend, Todd Starnes. Todd, thanks for holding. I know you're busy. You're doing a run-through there. Tell us about the Todd Starnes All-American Christmas.
Well, this is a two-hour extravaganza, and it's going to be broadcast on the Fox News Radio Network, as well as hundreds of Christian radio stations around the country, and also on FoxNews.com. You'll be able to watch the broadcast version. This show is basically a throwback to the old-school Christmas programs of the 60s and 70s that used to bring out a lot of the celebrities. And so we use this as a chance to showcase contemporary Christian artists and also Southern gospel artists. And so our show this year includes Grammy winner Jason Crabb, Meredith Andrews, who's just a wonderful singer, songwriter, and worship artist, and the Mylon Hayes family. And then, guys, we also have a massive singing Christmas tree, 44 feet tall, with 169 young people on that tree, along with a full orchestra. So it is going to be an incredible, just an incredible show, a lot of fun. And we have been putting out a warning to liberals and to certain snowflake millennials that that this show might possibly cause microaggressions.
I'd throw cupcakes in there too. The
cupcakes is good. Yeah. Well, we believe that Jesus is the reason for the season, and that's how we celebrate, and that's how we produce the show with that in mind. So we don't make any apologies or bones about it.
Well, hey, folks, I want to give you a website, radio.foxnews.com. Give me another one too, Todd.
Well, actually, the website address is toddstarnes.com, and if you go to the top of the website, you will see a tab that says Christmas Show, and it not only has information about the program, and we're taping it tomorrow night in Memphis, and so if there are any listeners in the Memphis area, the Mid-South area, we'd love for you to come out and be a part of the show. It doesn't cost a penny. Admission is free, and you'll have a chance to hear some great music and really get in the mood for the Christmas season.
You know, Todd, I wanted to ask you this, and full disclosure, okay? I was late to getting on the Trump train. In fact, I probably still have one foot on the platform and one on the train. But I got to say that since Donald J. Trump has become the president-elect of the United States,
yeah,
the things that you talk about, that I hear you every day on my radio show, because we play your program every day during my show, the things you talk about that have made America great, the values of the heart and soul of America, don't you think there has been this collective sigh and people feel like we can get back to celebrating the reason for the season without having to hide under a bush somewhere in order to do it? Don't you get that feeling as you're traveling around?
I do, and I think people feel like they can, you know, they can talk about things that maybe they didn't feel comfortable talking about over the past 8 years. They can be proud to be an American, you know, that we're not going to have a president of the White House that keeps having to apologize for us. You might remember, and I wrote about this in my book, Godless America, that in the first Christmas in the White House, President Obama actually wanted to remove the nativity scene from the
right.
East Room.
Yes.
So I think that really said a lot about that presidency, your first Christmas in the White House, and you want to kick out the baby Jesus.
Mm.
So
yeah.
I don't think Donald Trump is going to do that.
It reminds me of, Todd, a little bit of what happened when Reagan was elected. There was this, you know, this feeling that began to overtake
people. It's okay to be Americans again.
Yeah, it is. It was a feeling of pride and just thankfulness, I think.
And, you know, Todd, whenever you need to pull away, you just say, because I know you're in the middle of getting ready for tomorrow night. But, folks, we want to encourage you. The website, toddstarnes.com, all year long, his commentaries are great. His books are great. This Christmas show is phenomenal. If you're anywhere near Memphis, Tennessee, walk, run, drive, take an airplane, get to Memphis. Todd, people can get a ticket and come to this show tomorrow night. It's free, right?
Right, and they don't even need a ticket. We have a huge auditorium, so seating is first come, first served. We have plenty of seats. And another added bonus, I have a new book coming out in February, but we're going to give people who come to the show an advance. They're going to be able to pre-order the new book. The name of the book, gentlemen, The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again.
Thank you.
I love it.
Awesome. Awesome. You know, that's great. This November 8th, Todd, the deplorables spoke, didn't they?
Well, they certainly did. And I think they, you know, quite frankly, I think Hillary Clinton is going to need a bigger basket for all those deplorables, because there were a whole lot of them. And I write about that in the book, and I talk about how the left, and quite frankly, how those in public education view those of us who go to church and hold on to traditional values, who, again, cling to our guns and religion, to borrow a phrase from President Obama. These people, they hold us in contempt and they despise us. And so, again, this book is sort of a celebration of who we are as a people. And also, it's also a reminder of what could happen, because Ronald Reagan brought mourning to America. But the problem is that when he did that, conservatives went into hibernation. And before long, you had we went from no more taxes, read my lips, to having a community organizer in the White House. So it's not good enough that we've elected Donald Trump. Now we have to hold people accountable.
You know, it's interesting you said that. When I hear somebody make a statement like that, Todd, I always think about the late, great Jerry Falwell, whose famous quote was, you know, Christians are they're kind of a hard bunch to get involved in the culture. When they win, they quit, and when they lose, they quit. And
right.
We just can't have any quit in us this time. We have an opportunity to turn this country around, and I'm praying that everybody's going to stand up and take that opportunity and see what can happen when people who are operating from a solid worldview become in charge of things.
And well, you're absolutely right, Dr. Beeman. They're hollering at me on the stage here, fellas, so I'm going to have to skedaddle. But
okay.
I think people are going to be encouraged by the new book project, and hopefully challenged, because I think Jerry Falwell was right on the money with his comment, and we just can't let that happen again.
Todd, we appreciate you so much. Merry Christmas,
yep, Merry
my dear
Christmas,
brother.
God
Merry
bless
Christmas,
you.
Merry Christmas, fellas.
Yeah, see you on TV.
All right. Well, that was Todd Starnes. Hey, folks, if you want to call in, Dr. Tony Beam is in the house. The number is 866-348-7884. We do have some exciting stuff coming up on the show. But, Tony, before we move on, you know, you were talking about just kind of the collective sigh of relief.
Right.
I believe that. Okay.
No, I feel it.
The election was a month ago, coming up on a month ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my work for the Worldview Center at North Greenville, I travel. I've been to Dallas. I've been to Memphis. I've been to Denver, Colorado. I've been to Atlanta. I've been to Emerald Isle, North Carolina. So been a few places to speak in the last 4 weeks. There just seems to be a mood of, wow, America is a great country. We need to appreciate it.
Yeah,
you know,
we do, and we need to acknowledge this. We need to understand that, you know, Cal Thomas was right when he said the kingdom of God is not going to be ushered in on the backs of elephants or donkeys.
Right.
He's exactly right.
Got it.
So as believers, we need to have a consistent standard in every area of life and not to put too much confidence in the government or anybody else. Our confidence has to rest in our relationship with Jesus. But at the same time, you know, I'm in charge at North Greenville University of how we respond to Title IX, for example.
Which means what?
Well, Title IX is the way that the Department of Education, the Office of Civil Rights, instructs universities to operate when it comes to equality in every area. And of course, back in May, on May the 13th, the Obama administration said that we're going to have to embrace transgender activity in locker rooms, bathrooms, shower rooms, and dorm rooms. You know, people think that transgenderism is going to stop at the bathroom. How about in a university setting like ours, where with a Christian university, where we're talking about dorm rooms, shower rooms, locker rooms, the whole thing? So when that edict came out, there was just a sense of foreboding. You know, North Greenville University, along with other Christian universities, got a religious exemption, so we haven't had to deal with this yet, but we felt like that it was coming. Well, the best way I can describe it is with a President-elect Trump, at least politically, we feel like there's been a door of opportunity opened, a reprieve from the pressure that we felt like we were all going to be under almost immediately. I mean, I really believe if Hillary Clinton had been elected president, that come February, March, April, within the first few months of her administration, she would have aggressively pursued the LGBT agenda and the transgender agenda in particular as it relates to Christian schools, because the Obama administration already had set the stage for it.
Sure. This is The Line of Fire. Dr. Michael Brown, Alex McFarland, Dr. Tony Beam, your guest host today, humbly serving at the mic. Back after this.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're back. In just a few moments, we're going to have Neil Robbins on, who is a newspaper publisher, an alternative to the secular media. With me in the studio is Dr. Tony Beam, the vice president of North Greenville University. And, you know, we're talking about the need for apologetics and this sigh of relief. And look, I've not met anybody that thinks, you know, Donald Trump is, you know, some sort of messiah. I mean, we had two options before us. We had Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. But I remember in June, I was at a meeting the second time I met Donald Trump, and I've only met him very, very briefly. But this was back in June, New York City, and he was talking about the fact that nobody says Merry Christmas. And I was thinking to myself, either he's got some people giving him some really good talking points, or this guy gets it. And Donald Trump goes off, as he does, no teleprompter, and he's talking. There were like 700 people in a room. And he goes, have you guys noticed? Now, I'm sitting in a room with David Jeremiah, James Dobson, you know, Mike Huckabee. So, yes, we've noticed. But he goes, any of you guys ever noticed? Nobody says Merry Christmas anymore. Everybody says Happy Holidays or the season. He goes, why don't we say Merry Christmas? Is there something wrong with the word Christmas? He goes, when I was a kid, we would say Merry Christmas. And he goes, I want everybody to say Merry Christmas. Now, maybe somebody fed him some really good evangelical talking points, but he said it with conviction, like he meant it.
Well, I think something Todd said I think is really important. We go back to that for a second. About right at the end, before he had to jump off to work on the program that's going to be on tomorrow night.
Bellevue Baptist.
The Christmas program will be on Fox Radio, Fox News Channel. But anyway, the thing he said was accountability, and that we have to be vigilant and to hold our leaders accountable. I'm very encouraged by President-elect Trump's, a lot of his cabinet appointments, having Jeff Sessions as attorney general. I mean, yeah. Jeff Sessions is a hero of mine. I met him at AIPAC and was just, I mean, you know, was able to stand and talk to him a little bit.
And AIPAC?
Well, it's the American-Israel Public Relations Committee. Public Affairs Committee. People who support Israel, like, that really believe that the United States relationship with Israel should be very,
very important.
But anyway, when we talked for probably 15, 20 minutes at a reception, and when he walked away and I walked away with my wife, she said, "You're shaking." And I said, "Well, I just talked to one of my heroes, and I'm a little, you know, overwhelmed that I got to have that much of his time, because of the heart that he has for America and the values that I know that he operates from." So having him as attorney general is a great thing. But on the other side, here's the caution. And I just think I'm not trying to bring out the wet blanket brigade, not in any shape, form, or fashion. I'm excited about the future. But I also say that we do have to be vigilant because, you know, Donald Trump wrapped himself in the gay flag, the LGBT flag, at one of the last rallies down in Florida before he was elected president. He said on 60 Minutes that whereas abortion, he would have a litmus test. First Republican I've ever say that, heard say that about the United States Supreme Court. He just came right out and unapologetically said, I will appoint a pro-life Supreme Court justice. Wow. But then a few minutes later, they asked him about same-sex marriage, and he said, well, it's been settled by the court. It's a settled issue, and I'm fine with it. I mean, that was his comment. So I'm just asking for all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ to be vigilant, to remain vigilant, and to hold all of our elected officials accountable. Now, the good news is if President-elect Trump puts somebody off of his list, which he says he's going to, and he's been talking about that recently, on the Supreme Court, that's going to be a pro-life judge. And David Barton, a good friend of ours, Alex, he's right when he says, if you're pro-life, then you're pretty much right on the other issues.
Yeah.
So putting a strong pro-life justice on the United States Supreme Court would go a long way into to saying that we're going to change a little bit the legal. I'm concerned about religious liberty. That's one of the top drawer issues for me.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to be sure that whoever gets on that court is somebody that's going to protect my right. Yes, I accept that we now live in a world where same-sex marriage is the law of the land. But don't ask me to approve of it because I can't. I'm a born-again believer, and I'm going to agree with Scripture over what the culture says.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Anyway, just to, I just wanted to say that or talk about that for a second.
Well, exactly. And, you know, maybe we'll unpack this more tomorrow. I'll be sitting in for Dr. Brown again tomorrow. But it's an issue of natural law.
That's right.
And really, our Declaration, Constitution, Bill of Rights only makes sense in a world where there are some moral absolutes.
Sure. Well, look, the genius of the Constitution is that it depends on a moral people because we have so much freedom. You know, you can either have you can have morality in the culture because it's forced on you. In other words, you can have a culture where we live together with a whole lot of restrictive laws and a heavy-handed enforcement system, and then we can have law and order. Or we can live in a free culture that has law and order because the people in that culture demand it. That's what they want. Their worldview is righteousness. They're going to live and do right. They're not going to steal, kill, and destroy because they're operating from a worldview that says we don't do those kind of things. So it's very important that we understand either we're going to be governed by tyranny to hold us together,
sure,
or we're going to hold ourselves together because we're a moral people. And the Constitution was designed for people of a deeply held understanding of morality so that we would live without the restrictions of an oppressive government.
And
that's the way I want to live my life.
George Washington, our first president, said, leader of the Continental Army, we all know who George Washington is, he said, quote, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are the indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim to be a patriot who should labor to subvert these great pillars, religion and morality.
Right.
In other words, according to Washington, if you're promoting moral relativism, if you're opposing there are moral absolutes, you're not a patriot.
Yeah. Well, you're actually undermining that which the United States has been built on, which he's absolutely right about that. I think it was Madison, was it not? Was it Madison or Adams, who said that our Constitution was made for a moral people, and it's completely inadequate to the governance of any other.
Right.
And that's true because of the freedom that we have. Our freedoms cannot exist in a vacuum. They cannot exist without the moral underpinning that holds it together. So we've got to be vigilant about that. And like I said, am I optimistic about the future? Well, as a born-again believer, I know how it ends. I'm a big fan of the book of Revelation. I just finished preaching through it probably for the 20th time in my life as an interim pastor. And, I know what happens at the end. And so I'm very optimistic. But in the time between now and then, if we're going to live in a world we can be optimistic about, we've got to be strong in our holding on of Christian values, our willingness to stand for them regardless of the price, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. I mean, if we'll do those things, it can be a lot better world.
Well, and folks, you know, we hear the phrase kicked around, you don't want to be on the wrong side of history. Well, you don't want to be on the wrong side of Scripture.
Or eternity.
Yeah, well said. This is The Line of Fire. Dr. Michael Brown, Tony Beam, Alex McFarland. Stay tuned. Neil Robbins, Christian publisher, after this. Don't go away.
I want to give a special shout out from India to all of our torchbearers. You make The Line of Fire possible. Friends, we do our best to make every broadcast count, addressing the issues, tackling the controversies. And by God's grace, we are making an impact on many, many lives. And the reverberations are being felt around America and around the world. Thank you, our faithful supporters. Together, we are making a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Alex McFarland back on the program with Dr. Tony Beam. Very excited to be with you all today. And folks, I want to say that there are videos, there's audios, there's podcasts. You can go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org, and then askdrbrown.org. I do want to say, before I bring our guest up, Neil Robbins, Tony Beam and I, earlier in the program, were talking about our apologetic summer camp for teenagers. Folks, I hope you get this. And if you're a listener to Dr. Michael Brown, you probably are well up to speed on the fact that, you know, the cultural battles and just the struggles, and people are scratching their head asking, you know, what's happening in America? Well, it's a battle of worldviews. And, you know, I'm passionate. I'm more passionate than ever in reaching young people. Number one, helping young people know Christ personally as their Savior, but also how to think and how to build a life. And, Tony, I guess I've really, in one form or another, been in youth ministry about 29 years. More than ever, I'm committed to young people. And so that's why we're doing the first ever North Greenville University Worldview Apologetics Camp. It's going to be July 23rd through 23 through 28, 5 days.
Yeah, and I need to say, just write that date down and yes, have it in the back of your mind. Put it on the back burner, because we don't have enough information for you to put it on the front burner yet. It's going to happen, but we don't have a website. We don't have the price worked out. We have a lot to do between now and the first of the year as we really begin to roll out the promotion of this camp. But it is going to happen. It is going to be at North Greenville University, and we're excited about it. So just be listening. Kind of put that in your mind so that when you hear the details, you're ready to go.
And let me say, folks, it's going to be very, very affordable. There's going to be 15 sessions. We're going to talk about God and country, defending the faith. And let me just say, as a guy that speaks easily 100, 150 nights a year, kids love this. I mean, seriously. Because they feel empowered, Tony. They say, okay, wow, I understand the Bible. Well, wow, I can be confident about what I believe.
That's why I think we've had such a great response, Alex, to the Life Answers team from North Greenville University.
You know, Thank you. And tell me about that.
Well, it's just a group of students who get scholarship money to come to North Greenville, and they become a member of the Life Answers team, and we go out and talk about different topics and subjects in churches and different meetings from a different perspective. We do it in a group presentation mode where these young people get up and talk about the issues, and then we take questions from the audience, and it's been very well received.
Exactly. You know, the Life Answers team, we go out a couple of dozen times a year, starting, you know, September to May, the school year. I go with them a lot, and these kids, I mean, I'll do a brief intro, but just imagine how inspiring it is to see 18, 19, 20-year-old college students. And, you know, you might be jaded. You might think, oh, these are spoiled millennials, and they get up there, and they know their stuff. And they talk about some of these topics, like why is there evil in the world, and what are the different worldviews, Islam versus Christianity. Then we take Q&A. Now, you know what's really cool? 5 years ago, when Dr. Beam and I started doing this, you and I were kind of the safety net.
Yeah, we would never send them out without either you or I being with them because of the question and answer.
That's right.
Now I would send them into any environment and stay home.
Listen.
I want to be there because I want to see how they're going to handle it, but we don't have to be there anymore, and that is a great blessing.
These young people, these North Greenville students, they love the Lord. I would put them at Yale or Harvard and let them do Q&A. We've got a break. When we come back, Neil Robbins graciously on hold. The Line of Fire, Dr. Michael Brown, Alex McFarland. Stay tuned.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, we have got a great, great final segment, folks. Listen to this. Neil Robbins is the publisher of the North State Journal, North Carolina's only statewide newspaper. Now, a lot of great papers, a lot of historic periodicals, but this is a newspaper that covers all 100 counties, but also national events as well.
An hour ago,
and
it has the ISDN number.
And we're hearing
people speaking in our
ears. I know. I'm hearing an ISDN. But anyway, all right. Listen to this, folks. Neil Robbins, from some very well-known colleagues in law, politics, and culture. I got the name and acquaintance of this dear man. He's publishing a very wonderful newspaper. Interestingly, his background is in chemical engineering. He was a Park Scholar and a Caldwell Fellow, attended Wake Forest, got his MBA, School of Law, where he became a Juris Doctor. And he's just a good old North Carolina man like myself who is changing the world. Neil, thanks for holding and welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Alex, thanks for having me.
Well, God bless you. Thanks for being on the show. And before we go any farther, if you've got a website, tell us what that is, because I'm sure people will want to know it.
Sure. We'd love to have folks visit us. North State Journal's website is NSJ for North State Journal, NSJonline.com.
So you're a chemist, you're a lawyer, and how did you wake up one day and say, gosh golly, I think I'll start me a newspaper?
Well, I think it was a combination of awareness and frustration that led me to publishing and being interested in working with journalists. From living in North Carolina my entire life, I like to say that there's seven generations of Robbinses in Randolph County and four above ground. We've always lived in North Carolina and right here in the middle of the state in Asheboro in Randolph County. And I worked in Raleigh, and I just got tired of coming home to a rural county and talking to my colleagues and my friends and family and feeling like I was a personal messenger of the news rather than the media doing their job and telling folks what they really need to know. And so that's the mission of the North State Journal, is to bring that information from Murphy to Manio, from the big cities to the small towns to the country, as my son likes to call it. And make sure that they know what's happening with their state government, make sure they know what's happening with their fellow neighboring communities, but also that they keep track of all the people and places, and they know about all their sports teams. And I think I was fortunate to go to NC State and to Wake Forest, who get a lot of coverage of their athletic teams, but I'm friends and acquainted with a lot of folks who went to schools that don't get that preferential media treatment. So North State Journal is also doing, I think, a very good service to the people of North Carolina by covering all the sports teams throughout the state.
Well, let me ask you this about some of the political machinations in the state capital in Raleigh. And look, this is relevant nationally, folks, because with HB2, which, you know, a lot of people don't realize the name of that bill is actually the Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act. And HB2, it was about privacy and security. But what are some of the, I guess, more egregious examples that you've seen, Neil, of where the goings-on in Raleigh were underreported or misreported, and the truth that most Americans would want to know just wasn't being covered?
Well, I think that HB2 is a great national example that's relevant for any of your listeners, no matter where they are. I think that there are plenty of things that go on at the national level that the media has similar culpability in terms of lack of reporting the whole story. And I think it all is rooted in the fact that as professionals, and I'm an attorney, so I'm definitely in another cadre of folks who think they have unique and special talents and knowledge. And certainly going through the process of training to be a professional, you do acquire some trade skills that other folks don't have. But journalists have throughout the decades become empowered to be the filter of what people need to know. But sometimes you can get caught up, and just like lawyers, I can have a client come in who's very knowledgeable of their rights, and they can have a conversation with me, and I say, well, I recommend doing this, and they would say, well, have you considered this other law? And it will be surprising to you, and you'll say, wow, I didn't know that you would know that. And I think that's happening in politics and government a lot as well, and I think HB2 is a great example of that, and folks should be on the lookout for issues like HB2 in every state, and that is just a lack of understanding of how state governments work. In North Carolina, we're what they call a Dillon rule state, which means that all the power that the federal government doesn't have, you know, in the Constitution, is supposed to come to the states. And it comes to North Carolina, to the state, to the sovereign. And it doesn't flow any further than that. The people of North Carolina exhibit their will through their state government. And none of that power goes any further unless it's by the will of the legislature, by the will of the people, all of North Carolina. And so HB 2 is, some people say, an illogical outcropping, but I think it probably is a logical outcropping. Whether it's the right answer or not, I don't know. And I think politics has proven that it wasn't. But it is a logical outcropping of that conflict between a typical kind of Republican theory that the best government is the one that's closest to you. And I think people have had that mantra my entire life, certainly, that people think that's the best government. But in North Carolina, the government really ends at the state level. And so HB2 represents a conflict between a local municipality in Charlotte having a conflict with the state.
Mm-hmm.
And the state coming in at a policy level and saying, here's where we think North Carolina needs to be. And by the way, a municipality, a local government can't go any further than that. They certainly have the constitutional authority to do that, whether it was the right move politically. I think there's probably a mixed bag of results on that.
What do you think 2017 will see related to HB2?
Well, I've certainly seen, personally, a lot of different kind of legal ways that folks have surmised that the HB2 local government conflict could be resolved. Now, whether any of those are politically practical or tolerable to a Republican supermajority in both the House and the Senate, I think that your bet is as good as mine on whether there's movement on that. Certainly the General Assembly was reelected in kind of a historic win. It's probably overshadowed by, especially today with the concession of Governor McCrory to Governor-elect Cooper, North Carolina reelected its legislature almost in exact same proportion as it had 2 and 4 years ago. So the Republicans will maintain a supermajority in both the House and Senate that basically allows them to pass any bill they want to, so long as they can muster the votes to overcome a veto by the governor. So I would anticipate that they'll do something about HB2, because I think there is a pretty good argument to say that the people of North Carolina repudiated that from a political standpoint. Now, whether they actually disagree with the law is another question altogether. The polling that I saw repeatedly, depending on how trustworthy these polls were, I saw a lot of polling that said North Carolinians, especially in rural areas, would not want a city ordinance on the line of what Charlotte passed. And then you can ask the next question, and that is, do you agree with HB2? And they would say no. So I don't know how the legislature fixes it. I would not want to be in their shoes.
Don't you think that they were misinformed on what HB2 really was or was about?
Yeah, I think there's certainly there was certainly a lack of education by many commentators. Our reporters would consistently to come back after interviews and say, you know, regardless of how you come out on the politics, the policy, or the ideology of either the Charlotte City Ordinance or the HB2 bill, it might be a good idea to have read both of those to understand. And consistently we found that a lot of people who had a strong opinion had never really sat down and read either of the two pieces of legislation at issue. So I think that that's one of the ways that folks can start to understand this. And I would encourage anybody who's got questions about HB2 to first start with, I think it's 5 pages, double space pretty much, of a city ordinance that was really the first round of what caused HB2, and then read the bill, which is rather short. And it's interesting to see folks try to offer alternatives. And I've had many people say, well, I think the alternative would be for the state to set a standard. And I said, well, that's exactly what HB2 did, was set a statewide standard. I think where HB2 gets critiqued a lot is that it set the ceiling and the floor, basically, at the same level for local municipalities. So they can't do anything more, they can't do anything less. And in that regard, North Carolina is very unique in having passed a bill like that.
Wow. You're listening to Neil Robbins. He is publisher of the North State Journal, and we've got a break coming up. Neil, can you hold briefly through this break and come back?
Sure, be happy to.
All right, stay tuned, folks. The Line of Fire, Dr. Michael Brown, Tony Beam, Alex McFarland sitting in. More after this with Neil Robbins. Don't go away.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Alex McFarland here. I love patriotism. I love entrepreneurialism. And Neil Robbins is definitely an entrepreneur. Listen to this part of his masthead, I guess you will, about the North State Journal. Says there are so many stories in our state that deserve our attention but are being ignored by our media. The North State Journal gives a voice to all citizens from Murphy to Manio. Now, for those of you that don't know, we in North Carolina, we have kind of this idiom, Murphy to Manio, which means a long, long way. I actually drove that one time, Tony. I was speaking at a youth rally in Manteo, and I had to be at Silva, which is way almost to the Tennessee state line.
Oh, yeah. I know about Silva Webster. It used to be a high school. I don't think that's consolidated anymore, but there was a time when Silva Webster High School was had a great nationally ranked band program.
Okay.
And our high school band competed against them. So I know where that is.
So if you drive Manio to Murphy or Silva or Dillsboro, that's a day's work. But Neil, you cover all that beat, and you're doing the stories that maybe a lot of other periodicals and newspapers wouldn't necessarily do, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we're into December, so it's an opportunity for people and businesses to reflect on the year of 2016, which was the year of our founding. So we have kind of a unique look back. But one of the things that the editors brought out in our meeting last week was, let's look at the web stories that we did. So North State Journal comes out in print every Sunday from Murphy to Manio. But it's also available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with updated stories online. And so we said, let's look at our top 10 stories by traffic and see how those shake out. And the amount of diversity of both topic and location is amazing, from a young teacher in Warren County, which is in northeastern North Carolina, to people in Hickory, to the Big Rock Blue Marlin Tournament in Moorhead City. So an interesting story about the fire in western North Carolina. All those things were in our top 10, so it really hit home to me that we had accomplished one of our major goals as a newspaper, and that is to truly cover the entire state, not just a metro area. It's not be a metro Raleigh newspaper, which is easiest when you think about deploying resources. Is we're headquartered in Raleigh. We send folks to the General Assembly. We send folks around Raleigh, and we report those stories. But I'm looking right now at last week's or this past Sunday's North State Journal, and the front page was called A Timeless Tradition in Moore County, which is a traditional fox hunt with bugles and hounds and horses and folks in traditional garb, that's just a story you don't get in just every newspaper in North Carolina.
Well, God bless you. Give us the website again.
It's NSJ, North State Journal, nsjonline.com.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we're running out of time here, and I want to give a couple of websites. AskDrBrown.org. There's videos up of myself. There's a podcast. There's a lot there. And then the website of the show, which is TheLineOfFire.org. Neil, we're running out of time here, but let me ask this. As we look toward, you know, Christmas, but then January 1st is going to be here. There'll be the inauguration. We've talked about why, you know, oftentimes Christians kind of quit too soon. In your opinion, I know you love this country, and I know you you care about our freedoms and our Constitution, as do I. What advice would you give for people, just so we don't get complacent after the election? Sounds like we're going to get some great cabinet members. Sounds like we're going to get some good Supreme Court appointments. But so Christians, conservatives don't get complacent and just kind of think, okay, we got this now. While, let me just say, the left is unrelenting. I assure you, the left is not resting or in the shadows licking their wounds for long. Give us some advice for what patriots, people that love God and country, what ought we be doing?
Well, I think what we ought to be doing is we ought to be taking a moment to reflect on how we got to where we are. And I think that's always a good thing, and it's easy for folks to do in January. With a new president coming in, with President-elect Trump being inaugurated, I think it's time to look back and see how we got there. And it wasn't it wasn't a victory by a political party. It was a victory by the people of the United States of America. It was a bold statement that said we don't have to trust the media, we don't have to trust our politicians, we don't have to trust parties or platforms, we have to trust in the people of the United States of America. And I think it's interesting how the president-elect is picking his cabinet, because he's not necessarily picking from the list that any other presidential candidate might pick from, and he's not picking his Supreme Court justices from that either. So I think what folks can look forward to across the country is hopefully this drain-the-swamp mentality, which is, I think, a return to the people, their government, but also their country.
With us is Dr. Tony Beam. I want to ask your thoughts on this. Tony, this is such an out-of-the-box question, and it might be a silly question, but I don't know. This is how I think. Will we look back in 10 or 20 years and see this as a very, very pivotal, positive pivotal moment in the life of our government?
No way to answer that. At this point, too much history to be written between now and 20 years out. We don't know enough about what's going to happen when Donald J. Trump goes from being elect to going to be the president of the United States. If the country, one of the things I said, it was interesting, you were talking about a minute ago, this being a movement of the people rather than a movement of the party. And that's exactly right. One of the things I said on my radio show in the lead up to the election, I said, we don't know if Trump's going to win the election. Here's what will be the tell. The tell is, if this is a movement, he will win. If it's merely an aberration within the party, Hillary Clinton's going to be president of the United States. It was a movement, no question. And because of that, we do have an opportunity now to turn the country in a direction that I believe it desperately needs to go. But whether we will or not, I think the jury's out. We've got the opportunity. What we can say is that there's a great big fat opportunity sitting right in front of us. And so far, these appointments to the cabinet are encouraging that we're going to take advantage of it. What I'm hearing about the economy, morality, the things that are coming out of some of these representatives that Trump is high on, if that's the way he governs, it'll be certainly an interesting 4 years.
Mm. Neil, what do you say?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that there's a way to predict how this is all going to come out. I just think Donald Trump's going to be historical, probably, for either being known as a great president or being known as a not great president. But I think that's the only thing I would predict, is it'll be one way or the other. It probably won't be right down the middle. But But we do as a country, and North Carolina's going through this in a unique way today. I mean, we had a contested election until middle of the day today when the governor conceded to his challenger, the Attorney General Roy Cooper. And so as a nation, we've got to rally around, but also as a state, we've got to rally around new leadership and divided government on some level.
Neil Robbins of the North State Journal, Alex McFarland, Dr. Tony Beam of North Greenville University. So glad to have been with you today. We'll see you tomorrow. I do want to thank Dr. Michael Brown for allowing us to guest host.